Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final hour of the show for the year. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the games. Go to Brewers Outlet. Stock up for New Year's Eve. You don't want to show up empty-handed. You also want to make sure that you are fully stocked for people coming over to see you. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts, freshen out every day. And six great flavors of slushies. And all together now. All right? They're in Sealands Grove. Join me. The Pickle Bar, led by the Barrels and Dills. Indeed, second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, let's get to our play-by-play call of the day. Let's close out 2021 with a slam dunk.
Jaren drives on Metu, hangs, overlays, and a shot clock violation, but they play on. It'll be a Fox jam.
And then he's like, I'm going to go get a block at the rim. No, I'm not. I know Jaren Fox still has the bounce in those legs.
Oh, he sure does. And that's our play-by-play call of the day. And with that, we bring in the outstanding Rich Scarcella from the Reading Eagle. Sir, it is always a pleasure. Welcome back.
Same to you, Steve, and your family. Glad to be with you.
Okay. It's been an interesting time. Some people staying. So we'll start staff. Some people staying. Some people, of course, Brent Pry left. Manny Diaz comes in. Anthony Poindexter is staying. What have you thought about the staff, for the most part, staying stable, but also the addition of Manny Diaz?
Well, let's talk about the stability, Steve. I think that's really important. I thought there might be a change or two. I did not anticipate Brent Pry leaving, but to become a head coach at a place like Virginia Tech, where he was the GA, at the age of 51, he had to take it, mm-hmm. and I wish him the best. He's a good guy, and always treated me fairly, very cooperative. I like to find a person with the resume of a Manny Diaz in this hectic world of college football with coaching moves, it seems like every hour, I think is very, very important, and a win for James Franklin. If you look at Manny Diaz's resume and his 13 years, his previous years as a defensive coordinator, he has an impressive track record. I think it helps that he has had coaching experience, and I also think it helps from a recruiting perspective that he has a lot of connections in Florida. So I think that's a win. For sure. I think it's also a win that Anthony Poindexter, no matter the circumstances, mm-hmm. At Virginia, whether or not, you know, they turned him down or he turned them down, whatever, it doesn't matter. Anthony Poindexter is on the Penn State staff, and that's a good thing. I think when you talk to players such as Jair Brown and Jaquan Brisker, they pretty much gush about the impact that Poindexter has had on them. So that's where I'll leave it there. And honestly, Steve, like with everything, you know, you look around the college football landscape and there's just coaching moves left and right. And to have this is, if there are no more coaching moves before next season, I think the Penn State staff remained pretty stable.
Yeah. I felt with Brent Pry that every year he stayed here, you were delaying the inevitable, mm-hmm. and the inevitable happened. And I thought then they reacted with Manny Diaz. So I want to flip it to the other side of the ball.
Sure.
What do you think it means to Sean Clifford that he'll finally have the same offensive coordinator for a second consecutive year?
Well, I don't have to think of anything because Sean Clifford said it last Friday. He mentioned it without being prompted, how important it is for him to have a second year with Mike Yurcich, but really second year with the same offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. You know, much was written last year in January when the move was made that Sean was going to be playing for his fourth OC and quarterbacks coach in 5 years, which is almost hard to believe. And I think he views this as a big positive. And I think Mike Yurcich does as well. He had a lot of nice things to say about Sean last Friday during the virtual Outback Bowl Media Day. And I think it'll help Sean. And the thing, Steve, and I've said this probably on your show before, fans are fans, but I'm still surprised by the response that Sean's decision to return got from the people that I talked to. And I'm like, wait, do you know what you're talking about? Like, first of all, there's 100 reasons, but let's start. He's a tremendous leader. He's highly regarded and respected within that locker room. That's just for starters. Look at his performance the second half of the season when he played through an injury. Look at next year's schedule, the first 6 games, opening at Purdue, playing at Michigan, playing at Auburn, home against Ohio State. I think you'd be, not you, somebody would be asking too much of a true freshman or a Christian Veau to be the quarterback for those 6 games. Sean has seen almost everything. He has the experience. I think he is the best choice to be that quarterback, and I wasn't surprised either about his decision, but no. I'm glad for him.
Right. No, I've found the reaction to be honest, comical. Thinking, how much do you know about there's the cynic in me says, how much do you know about football? Okay. I've watched every rookie quarterback in the NFL, and Mac Jones to a point, really struggle. Bryce Young was a redshirt freshman. He learned from being around Mac Jones. Okay? Stroud learned from being around Fields. We go through the long list of people. These are not true freshmen out there excelling out there. These are guys that learned under somebody else first, Rich.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, Steve. I mean, even before Sean announced his decision, a couple of us who cover the team were saying, like, hey, you know, I don't know how this will happen, but if I'm James Franklin, I'm doing cartwheels if Sean Clifford decides to come back. And I'm sure it sounded like he was very pleased that he came back.
Well, I'll go back to a talk show earlier in the season, the coaches show on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And someone asked, and this is back in September, and someone asked James about replacing Sean once he leaves. And James quickly said, he says, let's not replace him yet. He can play next year. Keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. So believe me, he was very happy getting back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's not knocking Christian Veau.
No.
Or the two incoming freshmen. I was impressed with Christian against Rutgers. I thought he had a tremendous poise.
Yep.
And everything we hear about Drew Allar and Bo Prabula is great, but you know, they're also going to be in their first year playing basically. So I think that's a rough first 6 games, and to have somebody as experienced as Sean and as poised as Sean, I think is a plus.
Is this the last game of 21, or is it the first game of 22 on New Year's Day?
That's always a great question when it comes to bowl games. I think half and half. It's not really.
I agree.
In one sense, it is because of Ellis Brooks and Brandon Smith deciding to leave and not playing the bowl game. You're going to have new linebackers, so it's really the start of 22 for them. I always think a bowl win gives you a little hop in your step, a little jump in your step during winter workouts. I don't think it necessarily translates into tremendous success in the fall. But I think it carries a team through winter workouts and spring ball. So, you know, in that regard, it's 2022. But at the same time, I'm sure Penn State players, including Sean Clifford, would love to win and beat a second SEC team to cap this season. So I'll go half and half on that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's the right way to look at it in terms of in that regard. There are opt-outs, obviously, across the board. I thought James Franklin said something really interesting last week. Because, I mean, everybody knows that listens to this show. Since a year ago, not when it was proposed, but a year ago, I was talking about a 12-team playoff as a possibility. And now I'm thinking maybe 16, because I thought he said something interesting. He said, go big. Because I think go big does two things. It prevents opt-outs. And two, here's another part. If you want to appeal to the academic world, it also keeps guys academically eligible who are not like, yeah, okay, I'm going pro, I'm out of here. I think it does both if more teams in the playoff.
I have always been in favor of, at the very, very least, an 18 playoff. And I think Joe Paterno talked about that a long, long time ago, mm-hmm. about an 18 playoff. I agree with James. I think if you have a 16-team playoff, while it will hurt, obviously, some bowls, I think there will be several others who will be helped by it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, there will be fewer opt-outs. It doesn't eliminate the opt-outs, but there will be fewer. And I think it's a bigger issue, too, Steve, as James has talked about. If you don't make the playoffs, it's like your season was a waste.
Right.
And that shouldn't be. You know, it shouldn't be. It should be, like if you look at the NCAA basketball tournament, you know, if you reach a regional final, it's a big deal.
Yep.
And it's considered a big deal. You're one of the final eight teams in the country.
Yep.
Think about it. And then, you know, if you're in the final four, oh my gosh, you know, there are schools that celebrate that. And you, without winning the national championship. So I wouldn't mind seeing 16. If they do incorporate a 16 team playoff, I'd like to see one less game in the regular season. That's mm-hmm. that for the health and safety reasons of the players, because I don't like 17 NFL games either, but we could talk right. about that at another time.
No, I realize what you're saying. That's why I would, if I would keep it at 12, I would start a week earlier and incorporate a second bye week in the regular season.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be a plus. Sure.
Yeah, and I just think I was listening to somebody the other day, and they said, "What's the odds of 16 beating one?" I mean, they were trying to poo-poo the idea of it. So, what are the odds of 68 beating one in the NCAA basketball tournament? You guys were all filling out your brackets. Last time I saw it, at some point, UMBC beat Virginia.
Yeah.
I mean, so I hear lots of – I always hear arguments against all the time, and I'm starting to tune it all out because it's just excuses.
Well, I think a 16-team playoff would increase interest in the game of football.
Yes.
Even though it's at such a high level now.
Yes.
I think it would absolutely – and we're not even talking about the main thing. It would increase revenue,
no doubt,
potentially, by, you know, without a question. So, yeah, I don't know how soon it was. It's going to expand. It's pretty obvious that mm-hmm. it's going to be more than four teams. When that is, and how many teams it is, that remains to be seen.
Right, exactly. I do have to ask you about your pack. They're going to play on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
They got the Browns. They're 11-3, and I believe what right now Rodgers is tied with Favre for the all-time record for Packer touchdown passes.
Mm-hmm.
So how well are they playing right now, in your opinion?
I think they have room to grow. I've seen a lot of games this year. For some reason, I've only missed probably, you know, I don't have the Sunday ticket, but I've seen a lot, and yeah, I mean they won last week, and a lot of people I saw. Even people who have covered pro football, which surprised me. The Packers' defense looks terrible against the Ravens. Well, yeah, they were missing their best defensive lineman, Kenny Clark, who's out with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And they still don't have Za'Darius Smith. Rashawn Gary is playing hurt, and he's playing well, and they don't. Jair Alexander isn't back yet. So these are all. I think Kenny Clark. Last I've heard, it looks like he's going to play Saturday, but these other guys, they're coming back. That's defense. Look at the offensive line, where you have four guys who started the season as starters are out.
Right.
Or no, I shouldn't say that's look, four guys who you hoped would be the starters are out. David Bakhtiari didn't start the season as a starter.
Right.
He had a torn ACL last year, but he's on the verge of coming back. You know, and they've played well with some of these guys that they've picked up really off the scrap heap. So I think there's room to grow here. I love the fact that they run the ball and they run it. They have two backs who really complement each other in Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. So, I mean, I'm if you would have asked me in September, would I think they'd be 11-3 at this point? No. But the quarterback is playing really, really well despite his broken pinky toe, the much-discussed broken pinky toe, and could end up winning another MVP award. We'll see. I mean, you know, 30 touchdown passes and four interceptions is pretty outstanding. And the other thing is, I watch their post-game interviews a lot, and he is extremely content with
yep.
this group of guys and being mm-hmm. with Green Bay. And honestly, I think even he would admit the job that the front office has done, Brian Gutekunst putting this team together and picking up pieces over the last 9 to 10 months.
Yeah, no, I think, yes. I think, number one, they've been well coached. Number two, Gutekunst has done a great job of bringing in parts that they need. I think, you know, I don't think he has many complaints with what he has right now. And that's a big part of it. So,
yeah.
You watch him play. Do you think that I don't think there's any quarterback I watch out that plays that's more comfortable back there than he is, except, you know, obviously Brady's very comfortable with what he does, but they're the only two.
The one throw he made over the middle, I can't remember if it was Lazard or Valdez-Scantling last week. I mean, the window on that was about 2 feet, maybe 3 feet, and he put it, and even he made it said after the game, because I haven't made a throw like that in a while. And it was like, I couldn't believe the accuracy. But I do want to say this, because you did mention this. I get really annoyed when I hear the talking heads on the national media outlets say Matt LaFleur's not doing a good job. He's just riding the coattails of Rodgers.
Oh, no.
No. You're not watching the game. Or you're choosing not to watch what's going on and what that he's been dealing with. How about all the off-season stuff with Rodgers, how he handled it. He didn't open his mouth. He didn't say anything stupid. And from a schematic point of view, I mean, their offense, they come up with these design plays. I mean, it just looks so fresh. And he made the decision to change defensive coordinators, and Joe Barry has done a really, really good job.
Mm-hmm.
I think Matt LaFleur is I couldn't be happier I couldn't be happier with the coach of my team.
Agreed. Hey, happy holidays to you and your family. You'll be in Tampa, I assume?
I will be, and I will see you down there. When are you getting there?
Scheduled to be there the morning of the 30th, because I'm scheduled to do a basketball game on Wednesday night, so I'll go down Thursday morning.
Okay. I will see you sometime down there.
That sounds great, my friend. Thank
Merry
you so much. Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle, coming up in the final half hour. Nate Bauer on 3.com. We're so thankful for all of our guests because they all take time out of their day. We're not paying them to be on. They just give us their time. How often you hear Rich and Donnie and Frank and now Nate. I mean, you hear them on the show all the time. They're always giving you their time to make the show better. All the time. Awesome guests. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket.
And we're in the mobile Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.